Our scripture reading for tonight's lesson is taken from 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20 and the first five verses. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. Well, once again, good evening. We are glad that you are here again with us, as we are putting under the microscope for examination tonight, Psalm 116. We do need to remind ourselves this is Hebrew poetry. It is a body of work that stands alone. It does not pick up where Psalm 115 leads off, and it does not lead you into Psalm 117. But Psalm 116 is its own body of work, and you could call this psalm, I was greatly afflicted. And we'll find that in verse 10 of that psalm here in just a minute. Now, something that you may be wondering, and I want to, before I get into that, I want to mention something unique about Psalm 116, and then we'll get on with it. We are almost at the middle of the Bible, and we'll be discussing that here in a couple of psalms. But just think, if you were reading every page up until here, you've about made the halfway point, and the story just keeps getting better every time you turn the page. Why did we start in 2 Kings, though, if we are going to be studying Psalm 116? Well, if you finish out the story in 2 Kings chapter 20, God, through Isaiah, tells Hezekiah, on the third day, you're going to go up to the house of the Lord. And so Hezekiah, 3 days later, he would go up to the house of the Lord, and he would go and give a thank offering. And this is more or less what we have recorded in Psalm 116. If it's not verbatim, then it's at least a good thought behind that. So you might be tempted to call this a Psalm of Hezekiah. I don't know, you can or you cannot, but more generally it is the Psalm of the afflicted. It appeals to God. It finds God merciful. And it praises God with thanksgiving, and also with a renewed dedication for Him. Now, I'll tell you what I like about Psalm 116. This is a psalm that you can take with you when people are in the hospital and they want you to come read a portion of God's Word. And you think, well, what do I read? Psalm 23, that's a good one. I would throw Psalm 116 in the mix because it's just a great comforting psalm. And in addition to that, through this, we can see how God cares for His people. So with that, let us turn to Psalm 116 this evening and look at it. I was greatly afflicted. Now, we're going to do it differently. We're not going to go verse by verse. We're going to go theme or topic by topic, because there are a couple of topics that the psalmist here discusses. And so the first one is our title for the psalm, that of I was greatly afflicted. Look at verse 10. That's where we get that phrase. It says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Now, afflicted here means a sickness, but not just a sickness. It is a great sickness. We know how it is to be affected with an illness. It lays you out in misery, and you just don't see an end in sight sometimes. This is a great illness, a prolonged illness, something that continues and continues. Look at verse 6. It says, the Bible says, the Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. How many times when we have been sick do we feel like we have been brought low and our strength has just momentarily left us? We feel like we're in a slump. That's where the psalmist is at, or has been, because he says, I've been brought low. Now notice more details in verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble, and I found sorrow. These sorrows, you can think about them as cords, if you will. They're fastened around you, and there's a weight on the end of the cord, and it's slowly dragging you in one direction or another. Now that pang of hell, that's the anguish of the grave. That's what he talks about. The pains of hell, the anguish of the grave, meaning that hell, which is unseen, he's talking about Hades, that Hadean realm. He says, I've known these pains. I was near death. But notice he also says trouble and sorrow. That's what he's been covered with. That's been his blanket, if you will, is nothing good, just trouble and sorrow. Go back to verse 11 and look at these effects on the body. I said in my haste that all men are liars. Maybe you've had a bout of sickness where you almost don't speak right. You're trying to say the right thing and it just from the brain to the mouth, it doesn't always work out right. Well, he says, I said in my haste that all men are liars. Now, I mean, I guess I suppose technically all men are liars because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are honest men too. You know, depression, despair, sometimes it brings out the worst in us. Sometimes we speak in haste. Sometimes we say an angry word or an idle word, and we often do it in haste. We often do it in anger. That's what's happened to the psalmist here in haste. He's called all men liars. So he says, I'm greatly afflicted. He's brought low. Another theme is found in verse number 4. And it's calling on the name of the Lord. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Because so many people in the religious world today have that one wrong. And that is such an important phrase, we need to know it. To call upon the name of the Lord is to obey what he said to do. It is to make an appeal to him, but also do what he has said to do. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now Peter, in quoting from the Old Testament in Acts chapter 2 and 21, says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's from Joel chapter 2. But there's more to it than just simply calling, because Jesus Christ says in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ says that we can't just say, well, I'm calling upon the name of the Lord and that makes me good. We must put that into practice. So what does it mean to put that into practice? Well, Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias talking to Saul of Tarsus, soon to become Paul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, doing what? Calling on the name of the Lord. So for us today, calling upon the name of the Lord means we are baptized. Don't believe that? 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Peter said on the day of Pentecost, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, well, that's true. If you actually call upon the name of the Lord, not just do it in word only, but you do it in word and in deed, and you put on Christ in baptism. But notice what happened to the psalmist. He says, I want you to deliver my soul. He wants relief. When obeying the Lord in baptism, we make our appeal to God today to save us. It's not what we say that makes the appeal, but it's what we do. So here the psalmist, he called upon the name of the Lord. Let's look at another theme though, and we find it in the next verse, verse number 5, about our God being merciful. Watch number 5. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The psalmist knows that. I think we know that as well. Look at verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. He says, I was brought low, and he helped me. Now, simple, here in this context, simply means the humble. Those who turn to him with a childlike faith. Or those that turn to God and obey what he said to do, simply based upon the fact that he's God and he said to do it. Just like if you confidently tell a child to go do something. Why? Because I said so. Or because he said so, or because she said so. And they go do it. That's how we need to approach God. He said to do it. We will do it. Look at verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Notice how close to death the psalmist felt. The psalmist says, I was more or less knocking on death's door. But you, O Lord, you delivered me. Go back to verses 1 and 2. There's that theme we were talking about this morning. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I even underlined the first four words of that psalm in my Bible. That personal relationship. I love the Lord. Why? Because he heard me. Because he turned his ear to me to hear the requests that I had made known unto him. You know, the people that worship idols, they can't say that. Because their idol doesn't turn its ear to hear them, because it has no ears to which it can hear out of. But here our God does. Look at verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Talking about loosing bonds, that's an assurance of a relationship. He's freed him from sin. And now he has all the more right to want to serve the Lord. Jump back up to verse 7 when we talk about mercy. He says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Returning to thy rest, he's dealt bountifully. There's a song in our songbook we sing, I think it's number 32, Come Unto Me. There's a passage that we like to read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus Christ says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I'm wanting rest. I am returning to thy rest. You have dealt bountifully with me, not just from the illness that he was dealing with, but also from the anxieties of his heart. That's true rest, and it's only found in the Lord. So secondly, we see that our God is merciful. What's another theme from the psalm, though? It's found in verse 18, and it's talking about paying vows unto the Lord. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, paying vows, worshiping God, giving him the respect that he is owed. Back to verse 1, he says, I love the Lord. Why? Because he's heard me. He's heard my voice. Makes me think of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Here the psalmist says, I love the Lord. Why? Because he has heard what I said. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Jump down to verse 17. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people in the courts of the Lord's house in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. He's talking about paying vows. He's talking about worshiping God. Praise ye the Lord, where we get the word hallelujah from today. But if you're wondering in the old law where it talks about paying vows, we don't have time to go through it. But it's found in Leviticus chapter 27. And in the old law specifically tells you how to pay your vows. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 through 7, he talks about keeping your foot. When you go into the house of God, the wise man gives a good description of what we should do when we approach God. So while we're thinking about vows, there are three vows in this psalm. The first one's found in verse 2. Just read the last part. It says, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. That's a vow. He's vowing, saying, since you have heard me, I will call upon you as long as I have breath in my nostrils. The second vow is in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's a vow. Talk about his manner of life. It's conscious his consciousness and his conscience telling him that God is watching over him. So he will make that vow, and the third vow is in verse 13, where he says, I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. He says, it has been offered to me, and I will accept it. It's like good medicine. He's going to drink it at the fountain of the living waters. So there are three vows that are found here in this psalm. But I think we need to look at one more verse in this psalm, and arguably it's the most famous verse in Psalm 116. You may have seen it at funeral homes. You may have seen it in bulletins. You may have seen it online. And it's verse 15, where the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now that verse standing alone is great, but it's even better when you put it in the context. Is this a psalm about death? No, not really. It's a psalm about life. And it's a psalm about deliverance from death. But in any temporal deliverance, we must bear in mind Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Here Hezekiah was delivered from death in 2 Kings chapter 20. In fact, he gets 15 more years added to his life. Now, he will eventually die, but he was delivered from death. Now, it's not a promise that we will be delivered from every illness. And when we are sickened and when we recover, we have more years should remind us that one day, whenever God has appointed, whenever God wants you now, he takes you. But he wants you to know, look at this, verse 15, the first word is what? Precious. That means of great value. It is costly. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It makes me think about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said he would come out as a gain if you did it as a business transaction for him to die. Because that means he's going home. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Why? Because if they've been faithful their entire life, they're going home. You know the people that have been faithful. They were at every service. They went to everything they could. Some felt like they had the book memorized forwards and backwards. And when they pass away, you don't really have to wonder where they went. You feel pretty confident about that one. That's why it is precious in the sight of the Lord. There are two passages in the New Testament I want us to examine. And the lesson is yours this evening. And the first one is found in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. Philippians 1, 20 through 24. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life, or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. But if I live in the flesh, which is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You want to talk about a man who knew his true purpose in life? Paul says, I'd much rather die, because it'd be better for me. Paul says, but it'd be better for you if I stayed here, because there's some things that you need to get right, and I can help you with that. That's what Paul knows. There are other passages in Matthew chapter 10. Go back and see what the Lord said. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than the sparrows. To God, the death of one of his servants is precious. And we will die, and we have to. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and then the spirit returns to the God who gave it. I hope next time you may be going through something difficult in life, you can pull out of the back of your mind Psalm 116. and dwell on it and see how the Lord blessed Hezekiah and got him through that, gave him 15 more years, and that was a blessing. And when we get through things, it is a blessing. And sometimes loved ones don't get through things, but it can also be a blessing if they are faithful to the Lord. And since your death is precious to God, use the precious time that you have to live for Him. Back to verse 13. Will you take the cup of salvation and will you call on the name of the Lord? It is offered. The Lord's invitation is extended for those who have never obeyed the gospel. You do so through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, then being baptized, having your sins washed away, come out of that water grave, a new creature. Will you accept the offer of meeting God on His terms? And then after that, you remain faithful unto death, making vows like living for God every day, being a faithful Christian, helping those in need when you can. If sin is into your life, why not come back and be restored and leave in a much-wanted right relationship with God? And remember that God cares when you are afflicted.